Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dime.
Hello, everybody. Vegas Dave here. Thank you for joining me here on Vegas Dave's Dime. And once again, Tiger Woods is the U.S. Open champion. Many are calling this his most impressive championship yet. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it certainly is amazing. When you consider how much pain he was in. And I know it got to be a pain to hear the announcers mention it every 2 minutes. But you can't hold that against Tiger Woods. You can't downplay the injury just because the announcers were trying to make such a big deal out of it. Does that make sense? Yes, the announcers were bringing it up too much, but that doesn't mean it wasn't there. It doesn't mean that he didn't have a legitimate knee injury and that he wasn't in legitimate pain. And even if you wanted to argue that he was pain-free, which would be a ridiculous argument, but let's just say you wanted to make that argument. The amount of preparation that Tiger Woods had going into this tournament was not Tiger-like at all, and it wasn't even close to the norm as far as professional golfers go. They said that he wasn't even shooting 50 balls a day. He didn't read a single green until the tournament actually started. He didn't want to put stress on the knee by bending down and reading greens. He just said, don't worry about it, I'll wait until I actually play in the tournament. And it's just so un-Tiger-like, because part of his dominance over the game comes from the fact that he spends so much time preparing. He has 12-hour days of practice for these major tournaments, despite the fact that some of us might say, what does a guy like him need to practice for? He goes out there and practices as hard as anybody, on top of being the most gifted golfer in the game. And he wasn't able to do that in this tournament. He wasn't able to prepare the way he normally prepares because of his knee injury. And after 2 months off with little to no preparation, he goes out there and beats all of the best golfers in the world. And it really is an impressive victory and an impressive championship for Tiger Woods. But you have to also tip your hat to Rocco Mediate. Mediate was put in a situation that not too many people want to be in, and that's heads up against Tiger Woods for 18 holes. This could have absolutely been embarrassing. And that's nothing against Rocco. But when you go one playoff hole or four playoff holes and you lose to Tiger Woods, whatever, that's to be expected. But when you go 18 holes against Tiger Woods, it is going to be awfully difficult to make it close. And when Mediate was down 3 strokes about halfway through, it looked like it might get embarrassing, the way Tiger's been playing the back nine in this tournament. Tiger could have very easily won this by 6 or 7 strokes. It would have made for terrible TV. It would have been embarrassing to Rocco Mediate unjustly, because how many golfers in the world can go toe-to-toe with Tiger Woods? And that's what it looked like it was going to be. Just a blowout by Tiger Woods and an embarrassment for Rocco Mediate. But Rocco never gave up. He never let up. He kept pushing. He kept making his shots. And at the end of 18, he was tied with Tiger Woods. He pushed Tiger Woods to a 19th hole to win the U.S. Open. And yes, you can argue if Tiger Woods was 100%, it wouldn't have been that close, and I would probably agree with you. But that's not the point. The point is just the mental factor of having to play Tiger Woods for 18 holes has to wear down on anybody. And Rocco overcame that. He played 18 holes of solid golf, and he played 18 holes of tie golf with Tiger Woods. And it made for incredible TV. It was one of the best sporting events I've seen in a while. And he really made Tiger earn it, which is a very difficult thing to do. The second thing I wanted to talk about today was Hank Steinbrenner's comments. Steinbrenner came out and screamed at the NL, saying the NL should join the 21st century and that their rules about having pitchers hit and run are pathetic and have no place in the game today. And this all coming, of course, from the fact that he just lost his best pitcher, Chin-Ming Wong, to a base-running injury. He broke his foot. He'll be out at least 6 weeks. And the Yankees could not afford this. They could not afford to lose their most consistent and most winningest pitcher. So, of course, I don't blame Steinbrenner for being upset. Calling the NL pretty much archaic is kind of silly, to blame the league as opposed to just chalking it up to an unfortunate accident. But it brings up the age-old question, which league has it right? The AL or the NL? Do you prefer to see designated hitters, or do you prefer to see the pitcher go out there and hit? And I can see both sides of the argument, and I love both styles, but I think I'm starting to lean towards the AL. I used to be an NL guy through and through. I used to make the same arguments that most baseball purists do, that there's a lot more strategy in the NL. But when you get to thinking about it, how fun is the strategy, really? When there's two outs, you walk the eighth batter to get to the pitcher. And 9 times out of 10, the pitcher grounds out. And that's it. Inning over. Or the pitcher comes up with no outs or one out and a runner on, and they sacrifice the guy over because they can't hit, so they bunt. Is it really that exciting or that fun, the strategy aspect of the game? Do you enjoy baseball that much less in the AL, where you don't have the automatic out at the pitcher spot? I mean, can't people in the AL bunt too, if they need to get a runner over? And I just can't help but think of all the pitchers that have gotten injured by taking a ball to the fingers or the wrist when they were up to bat, or base running mishaps. I remember clearly a game that Roy Oswalt was pitching exceptionally well a couple years back, and he got a base hit and he got on the base pads on a day where the temperature was around 103 degrees in Houston. The next batter hit a double and Oswalt had to run all the way home, and he got so exhausted and dehydrated from that he wasn't able to pitch anymore. And I started thinking, shouldn't we just let the pitchers pitch and the hitters hit? I mean, it's not like the old days where pitchers weren't on pitch counts and pitchers just went out there and threw the ball. Nowadays, there's so much of an emphasis on protecting the pitcher, protecting pitchers' arms, relief pitching, so on and so forth. So if we are trying to protect pitchers so that they can just pitch, isn't it somewhat hypocritical to make them go out of their element and bat? And I guess interleague play is a whole different argument that has to be brought up, but is it fair to put a pitcher out there that doesn't ever take batting practice and doesn't ever do any base running drills because they never have to in their league, is it fair to put them out there to hit and make them face situations at the plate that they never face or run bases that they're not used to running? I mean, it doesn't seem that difficult to run bases. I mean, all these players came up through middle school and high school running bases. I mean, I don't necessarily buy the fact that pitchers shouldn't be able to round bases without getting hurt. But it is out of their element, and it is something they never practice, and it is kind of unfair to put an AL pitcher in a situation like this. So I don't know, maybe the AL has it right. Maybe we should leave pitching to the pitchers and hitting to the hitters, and not try and take the pitchers out of their element. How ridiculous would it be if we asked batters to pitch? And you're shaking your head at how ridiculous of an argument that is, but is it really? I'm curious to know what you guys think, so if you could leave me a comment and let me know why you prefer the NL or the AL, that would be cool to read. And before I wrap things up, I just wanted to touch on two things real quickly. Willie Randolph being fired, I don't need to spend another episode on. I explained exactly why he should have been fired in my May 27th episode. So you can go back to the archives on the side of the page here at davesdime.com and check out the May 27th episode as to why he should have been fired 3 weeks ago. But whatever, 3 weeks later, same thing. And the Raiders' new wide receiver, Javon Walker, was found unconscious in Vegas after being knocked out and robbed. And I just hope that he's okay, doesn't have any permanent injuries. If I've read correctly, he has an orbital fracture, which involves the bones around the eye, which sounds awfully dangerous, so I hope he doesn't have any permanent eye damage, not just as a Raiders fan or a sports fan, but just human being to human being. You hate to see that happen to anybody. So, Javon, hopefully you're okay. Willie, best wishes wherever you end up. And as always, you can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com, or you could just leave a comment here on the page. Thank you for listening, and have a good one, everybody.